Hello, everyone. This is Paul Hopkins with another VI Podcasting podcast. It's been a while. I just do them whenever I feel like doing them, really. But today, I'm really vexed and I need to discuss it and see what happens, what you lot think. I'm going to be talking about the government's welfare cuts and the vote that's happening next Tuesday, which I think is the 2nd of July, and what we can do and why we should be talking about this. All right, so groovy music to start with, you know, to kind of like dramatise this a little bit, not that it needs much drama. So we're talking about, and I think I can freewheel this pretty much because I've read a lot of information about it and feel reasonably well informed. The cuts that government are threatening to push through around disability and PIP and other benefits. My context is that, I'm an advocate at work for a lot of stuff we do, but that obviously puts me in touch with a lot of people in our sector, the VI community and the VI on the sector, the people that to some extent or other represent us, and organisations where we are well represented. And also requires me to do, because really part of my job, quite a lot of reading around what these cuts are looking like and all the rest of it. So that's one of my qualifications. The other thing I would say is tonight, what I'm talking about, we don't have the, at the moment, we don't have the, I say at the moment, we don't have the luxury of otherism. We can't be saying, oh, well, some people with disabilities, da, 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 da. At the moment, the airwaves are full of people who are coming on, who are completely misinformed about us getting all these benefits and da 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 da. The government and the previous government have been extremely successful with the press at demonising us and people with disabilities. I'm not going to widen this out too much, but when you add it with other big things that are happening around human life at the moment, it seems, then there's a hell of a lot of play here. But let's stick with the cuts to benefits and that. And so my so much information out there at the moment is against us, and so it isn't the time for otherism. We can look at what should happen. I've read some information, and I'm going to be careful because some of it's probably confidential, so I should point out here that views are my own. But I have been privy to some information around what the government wants to do in terms of encouraging people to back to work and having those conversations. And I think there is some public information out there from Guide Dogs, and they've got a couple of surveys out talking about what we think about this sort of stuff. And I know that the Thomas Pocklington Trust do as well. They've got their survey out and just trying to gauge the views of the VI public at the moment. So all this is going on, but really I don't think the government are coming at this in good faith at all. If you look at things like the Citizens Advice Report, which is the, it's actually called Pathways to Poverty. They're that enraged about the cuts and the bill going through that's what they've called their piece. And the Citizens Advice are not really people you can laugh off and just say, oh, well, they don't have a clue what they're talking about. Because they do. They're the ones that have the eyes and the ears and the hands on the ground trying to help people and advise people with very little funding, I might say. And so my argument is that we're now cutting away like the very breadcrumbs of what's left. You know, you've got the government saying that they want us to go into work. Access to work is an absolute poo state. They're saying that they we don't have any access now to meaningful sort of education. The SEN provision is in an absolute poo state too, and is at risk of falling apart. You know, kids can't get places, parents having to resort to all sorts of things to try and get their children to have any kind of education in that context. as I said, access to work is a state. We promised there's this £1 billion coming, but like so much money has been cut from the disability space already. I mean, I'm 58 in December, and I had the privilege of having a reasonable education, a good shot, like 12 or 15 GCSEs, I think, at the time. And then went to be a piano tuner, did 3 years doing that, got my diploma, was a piano tuner. Well, still tune pianos, although I've not done it full-time for a very long time. I've had jobs all my life, although I've been in my current job for 30 years. And I think that's slightly sort of representative of how it is for those of us that do have jobs. We hold on to them because in part the opportunities just aren't always there, and you know, some of you will be better at negotiating that than others, but I think this is a real crossroads. This is something that we've never seen, really. You know, we've spent, if you listen to people like Phil Friend, I'm just going to keep throwing these things out, if you listen to people like Phil Friend, who's a really good, is the word consummate? It might be. I don't mean consummate, consummate sort of broadcaster presenter. And he's he has a disability, and he talks about how long we fought for things like, well, initially what became the Disability Discrimination Act, and then was enshrined in the Equality Act 2010. But the Disability Discrimination Act, they tried and tried and tried and tried and tried and tried to get that, like, for 20, 30 years. You know, the things that we have now are really only fairly recently won, you know, when you look at history as a whole. And now they're set to be demolished. And it is very much a question of if you don't stand up now, you know, what was it? You know, they came for, I'm not going to say the different races because I don't think, you know, it's appropriate, but they came for this person, I did nothing. They came for this person, I did nothing. And then they came for me, you know. And I think that's where we are. You know, it may be that we're not affected this time round, but the government can't, you know, this hole they keep making in finances by funding other things. And, you know, we're finding money now for nuclear bomb jets and you know, more money for the 5.5% for defence. And, you know, then that means, we don't seem to be taxing in the right way. We've got rampant unemployment as they try to snatch more and more money from, you know, by employment insurance. Like, you'd think there'd be enough money around, and there is, but it's not for us, it would seem. So I think essentially my message is we've got to lobby and we've got to start doing it now and quickly. And I won't go on because there's loads of things I could say, but I should probably keep it, you know, fairly short. But my message, I think, is that there are currently, as I record this, 155 MPs that are going to vote against the bill. That might not be the case in reality if they start getting lobbied and pilloried or whatever, and threatened to have the whip taken from them or this kind of thing. Conservatives may go with Starmer and push it through, to try to push it through, that kind of thing. I don't know, that's a possibility. But the stakes are clearly very high, because I've even seen on Facebook, DWP, of all people, Department for Work and Pensions, doing these advertisements saying that most people won't be affected, blah, blah, blah. And I can assure you, if this is a bill, then it ain't going to stop at just whatever they're talking about now. You know, with most of the bills that come these days, it seems to me that they can just make amends to them without really consulting anybody. So I'm not a scaremonger, I don't, but even with what little that most of you know, it's scary enough. There's a lot of anxiety out there, and we don't want that. So I think we're going to have to push back. And if there's something you feel you can do, such as write to your MP or go on the radio and start pushing back on. So even things like, there's a guy on LBC, Nick Ferrari. I've been on his show a couple of times on calls, and he's got this real thing about people working from home. Now, if you have a disability, we had that window in lockdown where people with disabilities were hopeful because, you know, they could work from home and it would have been a bit of a new era. And now that's reversing. So, and he's, for example, always clatters on about people working from home and they should get back to the office and all this business. And it doesn't matter what, if the people that get through, a sprinkling of people get through and try to talk about their disability and why working from home is important and needs to be a thing for them, at least part-time. There's that. There's many, many other things that are just completely incorrect about the benefits that people are getting and how and why. And I think we need at the moment to get on the radio, tell your story, write to MP, tell your story. Don't just do a template. If that's all you can do, then fair enough. It's better to do something. But please, please, please try and go into that template, whether it's the RNIB, Guide Dogs, whoever that you're writing to MP with, and then try to fill in your own bits, your own experience. I think that's it. I'm going to probably leave it there for now. But I do think that now is the time, now is the moment. We've got to seize this opportunity and speak up, really. I think that's it. So I'm going to have a little business news, this is. Let's have a little outro. So the many ways that you can do that, you can get onto Facebook, research things like the Citizens Advice paper on the Pathways to Poverty report. Have a read of that. It's a lot there. Do something. And thanks for listening to me. If you've gone this far, well done. I'll speak to you all soon. Bye-bye.